Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kiddushin daf Mem Vav. We are holding on daf Mem Hey Amid Beis, five lines from the end of the page. Niskadsha Shalola Das Avia. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Natalie Lishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, and also by the virtual Halacha program, a program under the auspices of Harav Nevin Sal Shlita, geared toward working professionals to learn Halacha at a high level with a smicha option. Visit vhalacha.com for more information about the new Zman. So we are in the middle of a discussion of what happens when a katana takes nisuin shalol ledas avia. So we were talking about, we had two cases yesterday, one where she was niskadsha ledas avia, nisei shalol ledas avia, and her father is out of town. The other case where she was niskadsha ledas avia, nisei shalol ledas avia, and her father is in town and is shasak. And now we're going to have a third case where she's niskadsha shalola dasavia and niseis shalola dasavia, and the father's right there the whole time and he doesn't say a word. So what do we assume? Do we assume that the father approves, or do we assume that the father is sitting there simmering and disagreeing with everything, and he's just so angry he can't even speak? So how do we deal with that? Then the Gemara is going to talk about if a Tana took Kiddushin without her father's das, and then is she allowed to back out, or is only the father allowed to back out of such a Kiddushin? And the Gemara is going to bring a raya to that issue from a case of Mefateh, and that's going to bring us to the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah is going to have three different halachos about being Mekadesh with multiple acts. And like you give one date and you say, Harei Mekadesh B'Tamar Zu. And then another date, B'Tamar Zu. So does one of them on its own independently need to be worth a pruta in order for the Kiddushin to be valid? Or if collectively altogether they're worth a pruta, is that good enough? So the Gemara is going to have three different permutations, three different halachos relating to that. The Gemara is then going to question the third halacha in the Mishnah is clearly building off of one of the previous halachas in the Mishnah. The question is which one? Halacha number one or halacha number two? And then the Gemara is going to draw three halacha conclusions from something that Rabbi Ami says relating to our Mishnah. So three general halacha conclusions about Kiddushin. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if someone is Mekadesh someone where the Kiddushin is clearly not Tofes. He gives Kesef Kiddushin to his sister, and he says, Harei Mekadesh Li because of Zukadas Moshe of Yisrael. So obviously there's no Kiddushin. What happens to that money? Who owns that money? Does it go back to him? Does his sister keep that money? What did he mean when he gave such money to his sister? Then the Gemara is going to have two questions on the Mishnah from in Chala that someone who is mafresh kemach, that it's gezel biad kohen. So the Gemara is going to quote this Mishnah in Chala. I'm going to have two questions on the Mishnah in Chala about a case of gezel biad kohen, where you give such a chala to the kohen. So let's begin five lines from the end of the page on daf mem hey amud beis. Niskatsha shalol das avia v'niseis shalol das avia shalol das v'avia kan. Let's say she accepts the ketana, this little girl, accepts kiddushin without das avia, and does nisuin without das avia, and the father is there the whole time and he doesn't say a word. So Rav Huna Amar Ocheles. Rav Huna says it's chazaka that the father was interested in the kiddushin, and that's why his shtika is kehoda'a, and therefore if the husband that she accepted kiddushin and nisuin from is a kohen, she can eat truma. Whereas Rav Yimri Baraba Amar Eina Ocheles. Rav Yimri Baraba says no, she cannot eat truma because there is no kiddushin. We have to be choshesh that maybe the father is not nisratza. So Amar Ula Hadraf Huna, that which the daughter that's niskatsha v'nisa shalol das avia, when her father's here, that which Rav Huna says that she's mukadeshes and she can eat truma, is kechometz l'shinayim uka'ashan le'enayim. It is as difficult to accept. It is like vinegar on the teeth. It is like smoke in the eyes because it doesn't make any sense. Hashta umahasam dekidushita raisa amrit lo achla. Even a case where she was niskacha lidasavia, where the kiddushin is chal min haTorah, and nevertheless Rav Huna had said that she does not eat truma because maybe the father's not maskim to the nisuin, which may have been which was done shalol l'daito. So hacha, in a case where even the kiddushin was shalol l'daito, so this should be worse. Lo kol shkein, all the more so that we have to be choshesh that maybe the father is not happy about this, and therefore she should not be allowed to eat truma. If even in the case where the father was involved and approved of the kiddushin, and he just wasn't involved in the nisuin, we say, well, maybe the father's not happy about the nisuin, and she can't eat truma. So if the father wasn't even involved in the kiddushin, of course she's not going to be allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara, rather, Ula concludes, Nirin Divrei Talmud. I think Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, who is a Talmud of Rav Huna, is therefore more correct than the Rebbe, because he holds that the daughter that's niskacha v'niseis shalol l'dasavia is not going to be able to eat truma, and that seems to be what makes more sense. Now, by saying the words Nirin Divrei Talmud, he's saying that Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba is a Talmud of Rav Huna, right? He's clearly assuming so. Now, Tosos over here in Dibra Maskel Nirin just raises the question that our Gemara implies that Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba was a Talmud of Rav Huna, but in Brachos of Chav Zayin and Beis, it sounds like he was a Talmud Chaver to Rav, and Rav was a Rebbe of Rav Huna, which would have put him on a higher level than Rav Huna. Meaning, if he was a Talmud Chaver of Rav, and Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, so then Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba is on a higher level than Rav Huna, and not the Talmud of Rav Huna. So Tosis answers that there must be two Rabbi Yirmiyahs. One of them was a Talmud Chaver of Rav, and the other one was a Talmud of Rav Huna. Tosos in Maseches Pesachim Kuvavim Beis raises the question as well, and he says that the raya that they're two different people is that they have two different names. In the Gemara and Brachos, most of the versions of the Gemara and Brachos have a girsa Rav Yirmiyah, whereas over here the girsa is Rabbi Yirmiyah. The problem is our girsa is not really Rabbi Yirmiyah. Our girsa is Rav Yirmiyah, but Tosos have a girsa that over here it's Rabbi Yirmiyah, over there it's Rav Yirmiyah, and therefore you see it's a clear raya that these were two different people. Okay, so now we said, so he's more correct than his Rebbe, he's more correct than Rav Huna. So Amar Rava says, I can explain why Rav Huna thinks that when the father was not involved in the kiddushin, when the father was involved in the kiddushin, she's not allowed to eat truma. And even so, when the father was not involved in the kiddushin, we assume it is a good kiddushin and nisuin, and she's allowed to eat truma, even though it seems counterintuitive. So, Rava, my time with Rav Huna, why does Rav Huna hold that when she was both niskacha and niseis shalomi dasavia, that she may eat truma, even though even the kiddushin was shalomi dasavia? Because that's a goof of the point. Since while the father's alive, she accepts Kiddushin and Nisuin on her own, without the father's das, and she's acting like she doesn't have a father at all, and the father sees all that and doesn't say anything, that's clearly the father being maskim, and he's saying, I'm giving up any zuchus I have in my daughter, and let her be on her own. And he's modded to whatever she wants, whatever she's doing. That's a shtika kahoda'a. When the Kiddushin, though, was midasa, the father saying, I still want a hand in this. I'm still interested in what my daughter is doing. And then when she does the nisuin shalolodas, his shtika can be interpreted as he's so upset, he can't say anything. That here I am, I try to be involved in the shidduch, I accepted the kiddushin, and she goes on her own and she does the nisuin on her own. So that's a sign of anger. But when he allows everything to happen without any of his involvement, and he sits there quietly the whole time, then we don't take it as a sign of anger. We take it as a sign of shtika kehoda'a. So now, another din of Kiddushin Shlomi Das Ha'av, Itmar, Ketana Sheneskacha Shlol Das Avia. Ketana takes Kiddushin without her father's approval. So Amarav, Bein Avia, Yichol La'akev. So Rav says, both she, the girl herself, if she wants to be Mevatel the Kiddushin before the father ever hears about it and approves of it, or the father, if as soon as he hears about it, either one is allowed to say that this kiddushin is batel. Ravasi amar aviyah v'lohi. Ravasi says no. The father has the right to be ma'akev, but not her. If the father is interested and approves of the kiddushin, then then even if the daughter says, I changed my mind, I don't want it, she's still Mukadeshes anyway. So Esfei Rav Huna the Ravasi, Rav Huna challenges Ravasi. Ravasi says that it's all in the hands of the father, it's not up to her at all. V'amri l'chia bar Rav l'Ravasi, and some say the chia bar Rav challenged Ravasi, that we have a brisa, that it says in the Torah, in the case of Mefata Esabasula, that if a man tries to seduce a basula to marry him, so ma'ein yima'ein avia, so he said that if the father refuses to give her over to him, so kesev yishkal kamara basulos, then there's a payment that's involved. If the father does not want his daughter to be given over to the mefata, then the mefata has to pay a knas for being mefata the girl, for seducing the girl into bia. So the gemara is medayik, ein li el avia, from the pasuk, I only know that the father is able to reject the proposal of marriage. But he atzma minai, and how do I know that the girl herself can also reject the marriage possibility over here? Tamalomer ima'ein yima'ein. The Torah has a double lashon to tell me mikal makom, that even if the daughter is the one that's refusing, then there will be a collection of a payment, and the marriage will not happen. So l'chora, the case is that the man is mefata l'shem ishus, meaning mefata means he seduced her to have bia with him. But what was his intention? Was it only for a bias nus, or was he trying to marry her? So the pashtus is that we're talking about, the Gemara is assuming that he's mefat l'shem ishus. He's hoping that bia is a bia l'shem kiddushin. And the Torah is telling me that if the father or the daughter refuses the kiddushin that was already done, that kiddushin can be batel directly against the sheet of Ravasi, because this is exactly a case of a katana that does a kiddushin shalola dasavia. Over here it's a kiddushin bia shalola dasavia, and the pasuk is telling me in ma'ein yima'ein that either she or the father have the right to say no, this is not a kiddushin, and to back out of that kiddushin against Ravasi, who says that only the father has the right to back out of that kiddushin. So isn't this a raya against Ravasi? Samalu Rav. So Rav says to Rav Huna, his Talmud, and Techia, his son, lo tizlu basaribcha, don't ask a kasha that doesn't have any basis to it. Yachal shnei luchu, it's very easy to answer this one. Kigon shepitel shalol shemeshus. I mean, you yourself acknowledge that the basis of your challenge is that you're making an assumption of the case, that you're making an assumption that it was that he's mefata l'shem kiddushin. No, maybe when he's not mefata l'shem kiddushin, he's mefata the girl for l'shem znos. He has bia with her l'shem znos, so there is no kiddushin, and that's why the daughter could be ma'akev. But maybe if the little girl was mekabela's kiddushin, so she loses the right to be ma'akev. The father could still be ma'akev, but not her. So the Gemara says, really, you're going to say that the pasuk is talking about that? This pasuk is talking about what he's mefata l'shem znos. Peter Shalol Shemisha's Krabai? Do I need a pasuk to tell me that the father or the daughter could reject the kiddushin when the bia was l'shem znos? The bia was never l'shem kiddushin anyway. She wouldn't be miskadeshes anyway because there was no kiddushin. So I don't need a pasuk to tell me ma'ein yima'ein that both the father and the daughter could refuse. There was never a ma'isa kiddushin. So answer Gemara Amrav Nachum Yitzchak, the Torah is not telling me that through the miyun she's allowed to get remarried to somebody else, but it's lomar shemishan knas kamafuta. It's just telling me that if the daughter refuses to get married to this guy, then the guy owes a chi of knas, that he has to, when you're mefata a girl, you got to pay a knas. That's the chiddush of the pasuk, that he's going to be chayv to pay the knas when the daughter refuses, just like he would be chayv to pay the knas when the father refuses the kiddushin. Now Rav Yosef now brings a raya that the pasuk is talking about where he was mefata the girl shelo l'shem ishus. Amar le Rav Yosef, I hachi, if in fact you are correct, haynu d'tanina, now I understand what it says in the Brisa, that darshins from this pasuk, mahori ma'arena lo li'isha, to tell me, shetzri chaymenu kiddushin, that the mefuta needs a kiddushin from the mefata, meaning you need to do another act of kiddushin. So the impita l'shem ishus, kiddushin amali. But if the original act of bia was l'shem kiddushin, why would you need another act of kiddushin? So it must be that she was, meaning, because she, after all, she would have been mekudeshes with the original bia. So it must be that the original bia was l'shem znus. It was not an act of kiddushin, and therefore she's going to need a separate kiddushin. So Abaye rejects this raya. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says back to Rav Yosef, don't bring a raya from this brisa, because it could be that even if he was mefatel l'shem ishus, you need another kiddushin, and she's not going to be miskadeshes with that original kiddushin that happened already. Tzricha kiddushin l'dasavia. Maybe you need another kiddushin that this time is going to be done l'dasavia, whereas the first kiddushin was not done l'dasavia. So maybe you need to upgrade the ma'isa kiddushin, even though a ma'isa kiddushin happened already. So you can't necessarily bring a raya that the pasuk is talking about where he was bo'el l'shem znus and not l'shem kiddushin. Okay, period. Now we begin a new mishnah. So the mishnah discusses ha'om elisha got three cases. Case number one: ha'om elisha skachili b'tamarazo, hiskachili bazo. So he says to a woman, I want you to be mekadesh to me with this date, and then he gives her another date, I want you to be mekadesh to me with this date. So he gives her two dates. So miyesh ba'achs men shava pruta, if either one of the dates is worth a pruta, mekadeshes, then she's mekadeshes with the one that's worth a pruta. But v'imlav, if neither of them independently are worth a pruta, ain't a mekadeshes, then she's not mekadeshes. And even if together they're worth a pruta, she's not mekadeshes, because he said hiskachi twice. So he wasn't trying to be mekadesh with both of the dates at the same time. He meant obazu, that one or the other, and it has to be one or the other, has to be worth a pruta. Now Tosri Azakin points out that when we say enim kadeshes, if neither of them is worth a pruta independently, it means enim kadeshes bevadai, but it's still at least a safek kiddushin, because Shmuel had taught us back on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph that a person is mekadesh isha b'tamara, and it's not worth a shava pruta where you are right now, it's still suffering with Kadeshes, because we have to be choshesh that it might be worth a pruta in a different place, where tamarim are not as easily available. So if you have a place where tamar is a much rarer fruit, so it might be worth a pruta there. So we have to be choshesh for such a kedushin. It means she's not mekadeshes b'toras vaday. In the Sefer Shoshana Mudavid, he says, yeah, and that's why the Mishnah Dafka chose a case of a tamara and not yirakos, because yirakos, by the time you schlep it to the other place, would already be spoiled. So you only have to look at what it's worth over here. But a tamar tends to last longer. So even if it's worth a shavu pruta somewhere else, that would still give it, in essence, the status of something that's worth a shavu pruta, because it's possible to bring it to that somewhere else. Okay, that is halacha number one in the Mishnah. Halacha number two of the Mishnah, he gives her many different tamaros, and he says to her that you should be mekadeshes to me b'zo, 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 but he only uses the word mekadeshes once, and he just says b'zo, 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 and he gives her this date, that date, that date. So in yesh shavu pruta b'kula mekadeshes, so if it, with the tziruf of all of the values of these tamaros together, there are shavu pruta, then she's mekadeshes, v'mla v'ena mekadeshes, but if even with the tziruf of all of them together, it's not worth the shavu pruta, then she's not mekadeshes. And then the third case, ha'isa ocheles rishona rishona, is if as she's giving him a tamara, she keeps eating one at a time before he gives her the next one, then ain't a mekadeshes. Then even when altogether they're worth a shavu pruta, she's not mekadeshes. Ashei bachsmen shavu pruta. You need one of them to be worth a shavu pruta. Otherwise, they're not going to be mitzarif with each other, because she never is holding on to more than one at a time. The second you give her one, she pops it in her mouth, and another one, she pops it in her mouth. So therefore, they're not mitzarif. So man tana iskachi iskachi. Who is the tana of our mishnah that holds that only if you say iskachi libitmarzu, iskachi libazu, do you mean to be mekadesh with each one independently? But if you were to say iskachi libazu bazu bazu bazu, then he wants to only be mekadesh with the tziruf of all of them. Meaning, who is the tana that makes the distinction between case number one and case number two of our mishnah? Amar Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. This is the shita of Rabbi Shimon to Amar Ashiyomer Shmuel Kol Echad Ve'Echad, who says in a different context about five people that are toveya a pikadon from one guy that he owes them a pikadon, and he says Shvuah Shein Lecha Biyadi V'Lo Lecha V'Lo Lecha V'Lo Lecha, and it turned out that the Shvuah was a Shvuah L'Sheker, that he's only chayiv one carbon Shvuah, but because it's all considered one big Shvuah. But if he says Shvuah Lecha Shvuah Lecha Shvuah Lecha, then it would be five separate Shvuah. So that distinction follows the shita of Rabbi Shimon. This is a sugya Masechta Shavuos Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. But there's machlokas tanoim in the brayse over there. If a person is nitva by many people to return a pikadon that he's supposedly holding for them, and he's nishba l'sheker that he doesn't have any of it, so is he chayv a carbon shavuah for each of the tovim independently, or is he's only chayiv one carbon shvua for all of it. So Rabbi Meir's shita over there was that if he included all of them in a single lashon, he's only chayiv one carbon. But if he was mefarit, he's chayiv al kol echad ve'echad. But Rabbi Meir doesn't explain what does it mean to be kolel all of them in a single lashon, and what does it mean to be mefarit separately for each of them. So that's machlokas amoraim, what Rabbi Meir holds. According to Shmuel, Rabbi Meir holds that we're mechalik between a guy saying shvua she'eni chayiv lolucha without a vav a chibur saying vilolucha, where over there he's taking a shvua to each of them and he's chayiv a karban for each and every shvua, versus if he says lolucha vilolucha where there's an extra vav, in that case he's only going to be chayiv one karban. That's how Shmuel understands Rabbi Meir's distinction between klal and prat, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that no, Rabbi Meir doesn't make such a distinction. He always means to take a shvua to each one independently, unless he says shvua she'ein lachem biyadi. Unless he doesn't even say lacha, he says to the whole group, I want shvua for all of you that I don't have anything. Only then is that called that he's kolel everybody together and he's only going to be chayiv one shvua. That's Rabbi Meir's shita, and two opinions of how to understand Rabbi Meir's shita. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that if he says shvua she'ein chayiv lo lacha vilo lacha, he's chayiv in each one independently, because that lashon is mashma that he's taking a shvua to each one. But if he says shvua she'eni chayiv lo lacha without the vav achibur, then it's just one shvua for all of them. He's only chayiv one carbon. Rabbi Eliezer's shita is that if he says a lashon shvua by the last one, then it's considered a shvua for each and every one. I mean, if he says lo lacha lo lacha lo lacha shvua, then it's a shvua for each one. But otherwise, it's only one big shvua. And then Rabbi Shimon's shita is that it's always only one shvua unless he says to each one a separate lashon of shvua. Shvua she'eni chayiv lecha, shvua she'eni chayiv lecha. So that's what we're saying, that it's dafka, that last shita of Rabbi Shimon, who must be the Tana of our Mishnah. So now, the Mishnah had said that a man gives a woman many tomorrows, and he says, Harei amakadeshesli, bazo, uvazo, uvazo, im yesh bekula and shavapruta. So we said, if they're all together, we're the shavapruta, she's mukadeshes. But we then said at the end of the Mishnah, if she eats the first one before she gets the second one, she's ain't mukadeshes, unless one of them was worth a shavapruta without being mitzarif with the other ones. So, hey, which part of the Mishnah is that halacha, that last halacha going on? That if she eats the first one before she gets the second one, that she's ain't mukadeshes, unless each one is worth a shavapruta? Ilem areisha. If we're talking about in the case of the reisha, we said iskatshu li b'tamar zu, iskatshu li b'zu, mari ochelas afil menachas nami. Iskatshu li b'zu ka'amar. Then you don't need the fact that she ate it. We already said in the reisha that one of them needs to be worth a shavapruta independently. So it can't be going on the case of the reisha. The case of the reisha, even without eating it, one of them has to be worth a shavapruta. Ella aseifa. So it must be that this halacha is going on the seifa of Mishnah, that it was mekadesh with many tomorrows that are all mitzarif to a shir of shavapruta, and the Mishnah says that she's only mekadeshes if she has all the tomorrows in front of her at one time, so that they could be mitzarif with each other. But if she keeps eating them as they come in, then she's ainu mekadeshes unless one of them is worth a pruta. So ask the Gemara, v'afilu b'kamaisa, do we say even in a case where the one of the first tomorrows is worth a shavapruta that she already ate, that she's going to be mekadeshes? V'milvihi, if the kedushin is not nigmar until she finishes all the tamaros, it turns out that at the time that she ate them, so it's as if she was borrowing them from the man who's being mekadesher, and therefore she's being miskadeshes with the mechilas halva'a. And we have a klal, a mekadesh b'milva, ainu mekadeshes. So how does the kiddushin work? I mean, you're going to tell me that even one of the earlier tamaros are worth a shavapruta that she's mekadeshes l'chora? That's a case of mekadesh b'milva. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rei Shulchan, Rei Bas, Rei Sakin, Ein Lanu Leechol. He says an expression that we have a table over here, we have meat over here, we have a knife, but we don't have the ability to eat. It's as if we don't have a mouth with which to eat. Meaning, here we have a mission Mishnah Beferish in front of us, and we have no idea how to interpret this Mishnah. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi tried to do us a favor and organize all the Mishnayos, and he set up a table for us. But we don't have the capacity to be able to understand the Mishnah, to try to know what he wants from us. So Rabbi Shmuel Amri Tarvai, Rabbi Shmuel both explain the Mishnah as follows: Li Olam Areisha. This case of the woman eating before the Gemara Kiddushin, that she's Einam Kodeshes, is going back on the Reisha that talks about a man who says to a woman, Hiskachi li b'tmarzu, Hiskachi li b'zu, v'lomi b'ya ka'amar. And the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush, lomi b'ya menachas di'ikashav pruta in ilolo, not only in a case where she sets it aside and then takes the next date and sets that aside and takes the next one without eating it, that only if one of them is worth the shavapruta, she mukadeshes. And if none of them are worth the shavapruta independently, she's not mukadeshes, avlo cheles. But even in a case where as soon as she gets the first date, she eats that first date before she gets the second one, where I would have thought, ho'alu mikruva haniyasa, that since she got hana from the date, is so immediately after receiving it, so as soon as she gets it and eats it, she's megala, that she wants it. So I would think she's willing to be makner herself and give herself over for kiddushin with that date, even though it's not a shavapruta. So kamash malan, that it still needs to be a shavapruta. So the chiddush of the third case is not that if one of them is worth a shavapruta, she's mekudeshes. It's the chiddush is that even if none of them are worth a shavapruta, she's not mekudeshes. I would have thought that even if none of them is worth a shavapruta, that she'd be mekudeshes because she's showing that she's so excited about it and she's so interested in these dates that she keeps eating them. So I would think that to her that's worth a shavapruta because she shows that she has great interest in these dates. So that's the chiddush of the last line of the Mishnah, that when they're not worth a pruta, when each one is not worth a pruta, and he said about each one, skachli bazu, she's ena mukadeshas. However, Rabbi Ami Amar li'olam ha-sefer. Rabbi Ami disagrees. He says, no, this halach is going on the sefer of the Mishnah, where he's makadishur bazu. So my achi ba'achsmen shavapruta. So then, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that if one of them is worth a shavapruta, she's mukadeshas achi ba'chrona shavapruta? Not like we originally thought that even if the first one that she had already popped in her mouth is a shavapruta, that would be a valid kiddushin. No, that would be makadish b'milva. It has to be that the last one is worth a shavapruta. But if one of the earlier ones were a shavapruta, she would not be mukadeshes, because since she ate it before the gemara kiddushin, we view it like a halva'a, and you can't be miskadeshes with a mechilas ha-halva'a. So Rava says, wow, if that's how Rav Ami is interpreting our Mishnah, shmamina midrabi ami tlas. We see three halachos that emerge from Rabbi Ami's interpretation of our Mishnah. Number one, Shema mina mekadesh b'milva ina mekadeshes. That if a person is mekadesh nisha by her being mochel achov, or him being mochel achov that she owes him, that is not a valid kiddushin. Because Rabbi Ami said, how could we explain our Mishnah if she ate the first date, we view that as just a milva, and it must be that she's eina mekadeshes unless the last date is worth a shavapruta. So he's taking that as a given that mekadesh b'milva is eina mekadeshes. If you're mekadesh with the mechilas halva'a, that's what you're giving the woman is, you don't owe me anything anymore, that's eina mekadeshes. A second din that we see from Rabbi Ami, ushmamina mekadesh b'milva pruta taita pruta, that if a person is mekadesh n'isha with a mechila of a chov that she owes him money, and in addition to that gives her a pruta, then it does work as a kiddushin, because in our case, that's exactly what's happening. Whatever dates she ate initially, those are all a chov, and he's being mochel that chov. But then the last date that he gave her was worth a pruta. That's an actual maisa kiddushin with a pruta. So he's mekadisha with a mechilas milva plus a pruta, so we assume that daita a pruta, and therefore she's mekadeshes with that pruta. And the third thing we see from Rabbi Ami, ushmamina ma'us bi'al mechozrim. We also learn that a person is mekadesh nisha with money and the kiddushin is not chal, for whatever reason, the money is not given as a matana to the woman, it's considered a pikadon, and she's going to have to return the money to the mekadesh. So therefore, if a person is mekadesh nisha with many dates, and he says harei mekadeshes bazo ubazo, where the kiddushin is not going to be chal until the final date is given, so it's considered a pikadon unless that kiddushin is chal, or until that kiddushin is chal. And if she eats from each one prior to that, it's miskavalov b'milva, and she's not going to be miskadeshes. So we see that if you're giving something l'shem kiddushin, but for one reason or another it doesn't work, she doesn't get to keep it. We assume that it's a loan, and she's going to have to return it. So if the last date is worth a shavar pruta, good. So then there's a kiddushin, then it's a mechilas chov as well. She gets to keep it. But if that last date's also not worth a shavar pruta, then she owes him the value of all of those dates that she had eaten up until that point. Ma'us bi'alma chozrim, and that leads us into a machlokas amorayim about ma'us being chozrim when you try to give something l'shem kiddushin. Itmar hamakadesh achoso. What if a person is makadesh his sister? He gives money l'shem kiddushin to his sister. Obviously, the kiddushin is achal. So it's machlok samurayim what the status of the money is. Rav Amar ma'us chozrim. Rav says that the sister has to give back the money that she got for kiddushin because she's obviously in the mekadeshes, so it was given under false pretenses. She has to give it back. Shmuel Amar ma'us matana. Shmuel says, nah, the money is a gift. She can keep the money. So Rav Amar ma'us chozrim. Rav says the money goes back to the mekadesh, to the brother, because adi me'adei Hashem kiddushin tofsim b'achoso. Everybody knows that a sister is asatim, it's an issur kares, and there's not going to be a tfisas kiddushin by chayavei krisus, right? You don't have to have that much of a Jewish education to know that much. So the gemar of nasan l'shem pikadon, he was obviously just giving it as a pikadon, and therefore as a pikadon she has to return the pikadon. So that's the assumption, meaning it's a given that everybody knows it's the most obvious thing. The gemar even uses as an expression that in bar lo ka'achoso she asura lo, that if something is so clear like that, your sister is usher to you, right? Meaning that's like considered the most clear and obvious halacha in all of halacha. So obviously a person is aware of that, so he intends to give it l'shem pikadon. So ask the Gemara, if his kavana was to give it l'shem pikadon, v'leim lo l'shem pikadon, why doesn't he just tell her I'm giving it to you as a pikadon? So what a weird thing to do. He gives it to her l'shem kiddushin, and then but he has an intention to give it l'shem pikadon. So some of he's worried that if he tells her that, she's not going to be willing to accept the money as a pikadon. So he says he's giving her for a kiddushin. But his kavana the whole time was l'shem pikadon. Why that would be better, and she'd be happy to get it l'shem kiddushin, I think it just means that she thinks she gets to keep it. So maybe that, and he knows she's not going to want to receive whatever. She's not going to want to be indebted to him. So Shmuel savar ma'us matana. And Shmuel holds that the money is a matana. Why? Of course, I start with the same premise. Everybody knows that there's no tzvis kiddushin with the sister. The gomer v'nasan l'shematana, so he must be giving it to her l'shematana. V'neim lo l'shematana, why not just tell her that you're giving it l'shematana? Savar k'sif la milsa, he figures she's going to be embarrassed to receive a matana from him, so he doesn't want to give it say it's l'shematana. So he says l'shem kiddushin because it's embarrassing to have to receive a monetary gift from your brother in order to make ends meet. So Masav Ravina challenges. We have a Mishnah Maseches Chala. Hamafresh chalaso kemach. If a person is mafresh his challah before he turns it into a dough, when it's still just flour, eino challah. That kemach is not challah, because the Torah says reishis ariso sechem challah terimu truma. So it's only after the preparation of the dough that you're supposed to be mafresh challah, and then we add on the gezel biad kohen, and that kemach is considered stolen in the hands of the kohen if the kohen does not return it. V'amai gezel biad kohen. Why do we assume that that's stolen kemach in the hands of the kohen? According to Shmuel, that a person is mekadesh achoso, we assume he means to give it as a matana. Neima adam yodei shein mafresh challah kemach. Maybe it's equally obvious to people that you can't be mafresh challah from kemach v'nasan l'shem matana. Clearly, he means to give it as a matana. So, answers the Gemara, he wants to give it l'shem matana, but still the kohen has to return. Even though the guy intended to give it to the kohen as a matana, still it would be a big chorva if he doesn't return it. It's going to be a big takala if he doesn't return it. Why? Zimnin de isay the kohen pachs mechamish ravim kemach. Sometimes the kohen is going to have in his house less than the shear of chamish revios hakav, which is the shear of a dough that's chayiv and challah. V'hai, and now when you count this flour into it, alish le bade adadi, he's going to need all of the flour together that he has in his house that he got from the Israel, and now it's going to be a shear challah. V'kasavr niskanei sasa. and he's going to assume that his dough is already musukeles, and it does not require afrasus challah, because the kemach that he had in his house was less than a shear, and the kemach that this Yisrael gave to him, he's going to assume as a status of challah, and something that has the status of challah does not require a separate afrasha, and he's not going to be mafresh challah from it. He also has to be mafresh challah if he has regular dough. So he's going to think this is not a regular dough, but he doesn't realize that the flour that he received from the Yisrael wasn't challah, it was only a matana, and therefore he's going to have to be mafresh challah. So that's why we say gezel biyad kohen, just return it. So it says Marvamer told him yodei shem mafresh challah kemach. But why would he think that it has the status of challah? I thought everybody knows you can't be mafresh challah min a kemach, and the kohen is getting it as kemach. So yodei ve'ina yodei. He knows it, but he doesn't know it so clearly. Yodei shem mafresh challah kemach. He knows he's not supposed to be mafresh challah as kemach. Ve'ina yodei the sefer tamayim mayim mishum tircha the kohen. What he doesn't know is he assumes that the reason you're not allowed to be mafresh challah kemach is because that's a big tircha for the kohen, that he now has to prepare the dough. Ve'tircha the kohen achilte, and he figures, okay, samocha that tircha, I'll take it as flour, and now it will be challah, and he's going to think that it has the possibility of being challah if he's mochel the tircha, but that's in fact not true. It's just not challah. So now another kasha on this teretz. Why did the chum have to say have to be misakin that he has to be mafresh? That he has to return the challah to the mafresh, we could say that let the kohen keep it v'tavi truma, and instead of the chum being masakin that it's gezel biyad kohen and he better return it, say that it's not gezel biyad kohen. He's allowed to keep it, but it has the status of truma that it should have the din of challah v'lotochel atshiyotze lechallah makom acher, and the let the chum paskin to the kohen that he's not allowed to eat it unless he's mafresh challah from another dough for it as well. Milo tanan. After all, don't we have a similar din in masakin to my, that if a person is mafresh truma min hanokuv from a fruit that grew in an otzitz nokuv that's chayiv in truma min haTorah al she'enu nokuv, in order to cover fruit that grew in a pot that did not have a hole in the bottom, which is not chayiv in truma min haTorah, is only chayiv in truma midrabanan truma, it has a status of truma, but still v'lo teachal at sheyotzila truma ma'isim makom acher, but it's a suru ba'achila that's your mafresh truma ma'isos from other perils, because min haTorah the Russia was not chal, because when mafresh peros for other peros that are not chayiv in truma, the truma has the din of tevel gamur, and it's also ba'achila until you're misakin it. So we can learn from this mishnah that the chomer not choshish that the kohen is going to be bali de takala with this truma. We can tell him how to fix it. So by the mafresh chal also, we should say tell him that look, this has a status of chal l'chumra, but you still need to be mafresh makom acher, just like we do with truma. So it says gemara betray money. When it's two kelim, the kohen is going to listen to the chamin, but in a single kli, he's not going to listen. Meaning, when you're mafresh from an atzitz nakov al she'enu nakov, it's two separate kelim. The kohen will understand that the afrasha was not chal, and therefore he's going to listen to the chamin that he has to be mesakein the truma that he got from the Yisrael. So they don't require him to return it. But when he's mafresh chalam in a kemach, where everything is in one kli, so then the kohen is not going to listen to the chamin to be mesakein the kemach, and therefore the only possibility is to return it. The Baisema, another explanation, the Olam Kohen made a sayis. Really, the Kohen will listen to the Chamim, even when you're mafresh challah min hakemach, because Kohanim are zrizim, Kohanim are ksherim, or kasavra balabayis niskana isaso vasin mechel betivla. The problem is, if the Kohen keeps it and he doesn't give it back to the balabayis, it's going to give the balabayis the impression that he's already done, that he took care of his chiyuv, but it wasn't really challah because it was only kemach. And therefore, he's gonna end up eating tevel. What do you mean he's gonna think that he's already done? I thought we said that everybody knows that chal is invalid when it's given as kemach. So it says, he kind of knows. Yodeh shem rafish chal kemach. He knows he can't be rafish chal kemach. But he thinks that the only reason he can't do that is because it's tircha de kohen. But the kohen's keeping it. Tircha de kohen kibla lei. Obviously, he was mekabel himself that tircha because he was maskim to receive it and to keep it. So the Gemara asks on this teretz, v'tavi truma v'yachzor v'yitrum. So why don't we have another etza? Let it be truma. Let it have the status of challah. Let the kohen keep it, and be mechayiv the balabayis to be mafresh again. Sometimes we do that. Milo tanan. Didn't we learn in Mishnah Maseches Tamai min she'enu nakav al anakav, that if you're mafresh truma from an atzitz she'enu nakav to cover the perils that grew in an atzitz nakav, which would be chayiv min haTorah, truma biyachsav yitrom. We say it has the status of truma, but you got to do it again because now you have to be mafresh properly. So kimnu b'shei manitzos mechad manalotzais. So we said no, because that's in two separate kelim. In two separate kelim, a person's willing to listen. In one kli, a person's not willing to listen. Says more of lot size, and one clear person is not going to listen to the chabim va'atanan. But don't we have the Mishnah Maseches Trumos hatorim kishus? A person is mafresh truma from small melons v'nimtza mara, and it turns out that they're not ripened. Avatiach v'nimtza saruach, or in watermelon, it turns out that it's spoiled. Truma v'yachsav v'yitrom, it's truma and he has to be chayiv to be and he's mafresh it again. And that's we see from there, even though it's all in one kli, the guy is going to listen to be mafresh it again. So why by mafresh chalim and hakemach do we make the kohen return it back and we say, oh, maybe he's not going to listen? No, shiny asim to me daraisa truma ma'al yehi. The din of Torah kishus and its nimtzamara is different because over there it's midaraisa, it's actually valid truma. But if you're mafresh, so the fact that he's chayv to be lachs of litrum is only midrabanan, but midrabaylai. And I know that min haTorah it's valid truma. From Rabbi Eloi, Damar Rabbi Eloi, Minay L'Torim Min Arroa L'Yafash Trumasu Truma. How do I know that if you're Torim from lesser quality and higher quality, that the Truma is valid? Shnem Rav L'Sisu Elav Chet Barim Chemes Chelbo. That if you're Mafresh, you're a Chelav, meaning the best part. So then it's not going to be a Chet. Memela, we could be Medayik. That if you're not Mafresh from the best, then it is a Chet. So Meinu Kodesh Sias Chet Lama. But if it wasn't even a Hafrasha to begin with, what do you mean it's a Chet? So Mikal L'Torim Min Arroa L'Yafash Trumasu Truma. So we see that it must be that that's considered a valid truma. So since if you're Torah mekishus and it turns out to be mara, the hafrash is going to be chal min haTorah, therefore the kohen doesn't have to give it back to the Yisrael because it's usher to the Yisrael. You can't give it back to the Yisrael, and you don't have to be choshish for takala if he doesn't give it back to the Yisrael, because min haTorah you're yotze anyway. But if you're mafresh chal min haKemach, it's not even chal min haTorah. So if the kohen doesn't give that kemach back to the Yisrael, we have to be choshish that the Yisrael is not going to properly be mafresh challah from the dough, and he's going to eat a dough that in fact is teva. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rava, last two words on the page. Great day.